bailando.
Was music from the Andes of Bolivia. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran. The programme was produced by James Parkin.
Wagner 200 on BBC Radio 3. The Metropolitan Opera's new ring cycle, live from New York, beginning with Das Rheingold. Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high-definition sound online. The time now is 11 o'clock and it's time for this week's edition of Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Kevin Legendre.
The new Juju Man by jazz vocal supergroup The Manhattan Transfer with their unique take on the Miles Davis classic Tutu. And today I'll be looking at the apparent resurgence of vocal groups in jazz in the UK and the US. In the company of writer and broadcaster Bob Sinfield, I'll be investigating the influence of acts such as the New York Voices and Take Six, who've drawn their inspiration from bands like The Manhattan Transfer and the legendary Lambert Hendrickson Ross. Also on the programme is our second instalment of concert music by the Quentin Collins and Brandon Allen Quartet, recorded at the 10th anniversary celebrations as part of last year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. Let's get things started with something brand new from pianist Alex Wilson, who's celebrating his 9th release, which is also his first acoustic piano trio album. Here's the track, Calice. We'll be right back. we're definitely up and running with music like that. It was Alex Wilson on piano with Davide Montevani on double bass and Frank Tonto on drums, taken from their new CD simply called The Alex Wilson Trio. I'm pleased to say that Alex will be a guest on a forthcoming jazz lineup, and his concert will be one that we're recording at this year's Steinway Piano Festival at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in Dean Street, London. Brand new on the Babel label, but much more chilled out, here's something from London-based contemporary pianist Bruno Heinen. His latest CD is a tribute to the highly influential German composer Karlheinz Stockhausen. And in fact, both of Bruno's parents worked with the master himself. Heinen's sextet comprises James Alsop on bass clarinet, Jack Davis on trumpet, Tom Challenger on tenor sax, Andrea De Bazzi on bass, and John Scott on drums, with both Scott and Heinen also in charge of original Stockhausen music boxes. There are 12 pieces on the CD, each named after a zodiac star sign. This is Gemini. Thank you. Gemini by the Bruno Heinen Sextet, and you can see the band on Wednesday the 3rd of April at the Vortex in London. And here's another unmissable date for your jazz diaries. Phrenesis play on Wednesday, April the 3rd at the Apex, Bury St Edmunds. The Gateshead International Jazz Festival 2013 is the largest jazz festival held under one roof, set in the stunning surroundings of the Sage in Gateshead. The festival runs from the 5th to the 7th of April, and this year the programme really does have something for everybody, including the National Youth Jazz Orchestra featuring Jackie Dankworth, Soweto Kinch, Ruby Turner and the brand new Heavies, and also Ian Ballamy and Stian Carstensen, and not forgetting the wonderful Christine Tobin. The work of two of the UK's most distinctively original jazz composers, Tim Garland and the native Tynesider Ian Carr, will be featured this year as part of a programme of music inspired by the landscapes of the northeast of England. The Northern Spirits concert will include the world premiere of Songs to the North Sky, composed by Tim Garland. In addition to this new suite, will be the first performance in the northeast of Northumbrian Sketches, both conducted incidentally by Clark Rundell, which was composed by the late, very great Ian Carr. Featuring Northern Sinfonia and the Orchestra of the Sage Gateshead, the concert also includes a 40-minute set by the award-winning trio Lighthouse, which includes saxophonist Tim Garland, along with pianist Gwilym Simcock and percussionist Asaf Sirkis. Lighthouse themselves were also inspired by a northeast landmark, St Mary's Lighthouse in Whitley Bay, and have now played all over the world. And let's hear the Lighthouse trio with a very nippy track entitled Devilled. Thank you. The incredible musicianship of Gwilym Simcock on piano, Asaf Circus on drums, and Tim Garland on sax playing the track Deviled from their album Lighthouse. And if you're lucky enough to be going to the Gateshead International Jazz Festival, you're in for a real treat if you can make it to that gig. And good to see Radio 3's Alan Shipton will be at the Gateshead as well, recording jazz record requests on Saturday the 6th of April at 1:30 p.m. And for more info on this year's Gateshead Jazz Festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page on the Radio 3 website. I'm Kevin Legendre, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90-93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. Born, bred and buttered in Cornwall, the multi-talented and versatile radio presenter, actor, author, voiceover artist and last but not least, jazz lover, Bob Sinfield will be bringing me the latest word on the emerging revival of the close harmony tradition here in the UK. He joins me after this track, one of the best examples of the art of vocalese. It's the inimitable Lambert Hendricks and Ross singing the joyous Jumping at the Woodside.
I gotta go, I wanna blow. Mansion and it ain't no motel. I'm telling you where the place is. Bet you never heard of such a groovy hotel. Cop a room and then you really can tend to biz. I gotta go, I wanna blow. I gotta go, I got a really groovy bed. A better bed I never had. I gotta go, I wanna blow. I gotta go, I never ever wanna move. I never had a better move. I gotta go, I wanna blow. I gotta go. Tiny room is all I got, but man, I really do a lot of living. I gotta split, I gotta go.
From morning till night, when feeling tight, cool it, fold and sleep it, sleep some, rest your peepers, then later when you feel greater,
jumping in the hall and everybody has a ball, and with a ball, I do mean, it's jumping every minute, soon as you get inside the door, well, you can feel the shaking floor, and that alone will tell you the woodside is quite a jumping scene. Lord blind, get out of your mind, oh, women and wine, you try it, you dig it, everybody has a ball in my hotel. What a story I can tell. I finish up a gig and tighten up my wig and never have to wander around and roam and never find a groovy place to get the jump and really going on. You can make it and you'll have a ball at home. Dig it, you flip, it's well. I dig the woodside, man, that's where I dwell. I tell you where I'm living because I really have a ball in my hotel. A lot of jumping. You dig it soon as you arrive. A lot of jumping. It's got another kind of jive, a lot of jumping, and really very much alive. I tell you something, and a jumping at the woodside now, a lot of jumping. You hop a room or telephone, a lot of jumping. You tell a fella you're alone, a lot of jumping, and you're no longer on your own. I tell you something, and the jumping at the woodside now, a lot of jumping, and you can do the way you please, a lot of jumping. They got a place where you can breathe, a lot of jumping, and you can live a life of ease. I tell you something, and the jumping at the woodside now, a lot of jumping. You dig it coming through the door, a lot of jumping, and you can feel the shaking floor, a lot of jumping. And you'll be coming back for more, I tell you something, man, they're jumping at the woodside now, a lot of jumping. You dig it soon as you arrive, a lot of jumping. It's got another kind of jive, a lot of jumping. And really very much alive, I'll tell you something, man, they're jumping at the woodside now.
Lambert Hendricks and Ross with Jumping at the Woodside, one of the definitive performances by the legends of vocal jazz. They, of course, put lyrics to instrumental melodies and were also great scat singers, and their influence can be heard in the work of groups such as Manhattan Transfer, who, of course, we open today's show with. I'm joined now by Bob Sinfield, who is going to be our guide to the current jazz vocal resurgence happening in the UK. He's going to talk about some of the groups and try to explain why this is happening. Is it fair to say that there is something of a revival or a resurgence, Bob, happening
yes,
at the moment?
I think there is, Kevin, and I think you can hear it in the work of groups like the Papini sisters, who are obviously direct descendants from the Andrews sisters. You can also hear it at the possibly the jazzier end of the spectrum with groups like the Oxford Gargoyles and Sector 7, who we'll hear a little bit later on in the programme. I've done a little family tree here.
It's a sort family of, trees are always good.
A kind of visual aid on the radio, so that this becomes a sort of close harmony, who do you think you are? If we take the Papinis, for example, we can trace them back to the Andrews sisters, but before that, to the Boswell sisters, who were a very interesting trio, not only great singers, but played a variety of instruments between them. And also around the same time, we're talking about the 30s and 40s, we had the Mills Brothers, who worked a lot with Louis Armstrong, amongst many others. And they were not only great vocalists, but they could impersonate instruments. And there's a marvellous version they did of Ellington and Tisol's Caravan, where they pretend to be trumpets and clarinets and trombones. And you think, who needs a band? We've got them here.
Wasn't one of them also a guitarist as well?
I think that's right, yes. Incredibly versatile people. And then, of course, the Andrews sisters became the most famous, possibly because of the war and the fact that they really tapped into the emotions of separated couples with numbers like Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with Anyone Else But Me. And they recorded a lot with Bing Crosby, so that helped to seal their fame. And it's that tradition that you now hear with the Papinis and also lesser-known groups in this country like the Haywood sisters, who I don't think have recorded yet, but are very impressive live.
So are we talking about a kind of crossover, a sort of meeting point of jazz and popular song? You mentioned Bing Crosby. I know the Mills Brothers did a lot of Broadway songs as well.
Yeah.
It seems that the music that we're identifying here is very user-friendly and perhaps not intimidating for a non-jazz audience.
Yes, that's true. It's quite inclusive in that way. And latterly, people are tending to use the work of Stevie Wonder quite a bit, who, of course, is not a jazz artist nor a jazz composer, but somebody
with a jazz sensibility who nonetheless is a great pop artist.
That's right.
So, again, he's right on the cusp as well, which is always a good thing.
That's right. Well, Lambert, Hendricks and Ross, who we heard there, I think thoroughly enjoying themselves on that vocalese version of Jumpin' at the Woodside. It was a big hit for Count Basie.
Crazy. That's right.
And then it's safe to bet, I think, Kevin, that Manhattan Transfer and the New York Voices grew up listening to Dave Lambert, John Hendricks and Annie Ross, because you can hear in their music the same sort of joie de vivre. Now, I was a terrible snob at the age of 2021 when Manhattan Transfer hit the top of the British charts with Chanson d'Amour.
Rat-da-da-da-da.
Good heavens. Somebody else who remembers it.
I was exposed to it as well. It made an impression on me. I'm not sure whether it was a good one or a bad one. I have to say that they did a fantastic tune called Spice of Life.
Yes.
Which actually appealed to a lot of soul and pop fans.
It was quite funky, that, wasn't it?
It was very funky. And then later on, I remember them working, I think, with Bobby McFerrin and John Hendricks.
Yeah.
So even though they may have been slightly tainted by pop success, I think they're nonetheless respected as people with pretty serious vocal chops.
Certainly. And I had misjudged them, really. I'd thought, oh, this is cheesy tat.
Mm.
And then I think it was on the B-side of Spice of Life, I discovered their version of Four Brothers, which Hendricks had provided a vocalese version of the Jimmy Giuffre number that was a hit for the Woody Herman band.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. And as a result of that, started listening to the likes of Lambert, Hendricks and Ross and kind of working out how that link had been forged.
But I think we should put our fingers on something or pick up on something that you said, which I think is very important in this discussion, maybe by way of explanation as to why these groups appeal to audiences, both jazz and non-jazz. And that is, you use the term joie de vivre, this warmth, this joy. Certainly, just about every picture of Lambert, Hendricks and Ross I've seen, they always have a smile on their face.
That's
they
right.
always seem to be conveying this great energy and it appears to be very inclusive. It's inviting you in and saying, join the party.
Yes.
And is that a vital part of this, that the singers do have this kind of warmth and this invitation to the audience to come into the music?
I think so. They managed to make it entertainment, and at the same time, you're sitting there, and if you know anything about music at all, you think, this is wonderful. Listen to what these people can do.
There's artistry as well.
With their voices alone.
Yeah.
Quite unbelievable. And hot on the heels of Manhattan Transfer, but sadly never as commercially successful or acclaimed publicly, are the New York Voices. Now, I first heard them about 20 years ago. They were newish on the scene then. I think they've impressed me more and more as the years have gone on. And we're going to hear a number that appeared on a very early album of theirs. And it's a Mark Murphy lyric to the tune of what I think is Oliver Nelson's finest moment.
I'd also say it's one of the great romantic moments in jazz, Stolen Moments, the tune that we're going to listen to, which every time I hear it, whether I hear the Mark Murphy version or the Oliver Nelson version or other instrumental versions, it kind of melts my heart. It's a deeply emotive song. And I think that the Voices enhance that. They kind of bring that out even more. So without further ado, let's listen to the New York Voices doing Oliver Nelson's Stolen Moments with a lyric by Mark Murphy.
If I hold you and shield you, darling, would you linger a while today? If I hold you and hug you, my dear, so don't argue. Their gossip won't hurt you, I'll never desert you. And someday we'll find us where people won't bind us.
To the hands of time.
The pantomime. say, if I hold you and shield you, darling, would you linger a while today?
If I hold you and hug you, my dear, so don't knock you. Gossip won't hurt you, I'll never desert you. And someday we'll find us where people won't bind us.
To the hands of time, it's just a
The New York Voices with the timeless Stolen Moments from the album Hearts of Fire. I'm Kevin Legendre and I'm joined by Bob Sinfield, and we're talking about the resurgence of vocal groups in jazz. So we've been talking about and referencing American groups, but obviously there's a vibrant vocal harmony jazz scene in the UK. We could talk about groups like the Oxford Gargoyles or the Papini Sisters.
Yeah.
Why do you think they have emerged in the last few years?
This is just a guess, but I wonder if it's to do with economics, partly. Because if you think about it, if you're in a big band, you're going out on the road, but how much do you get paid? How much can a jazz club afford to pay you for a gig? Nobody comes away with very much money.
Yeah.
It's a huge operation. It's a great organisational nightmare. If there are three or maybe four of you and you've only got your voices to carry around, you're lighter, you're more portable, and you're easier to book, and obviously the cash goes a little bit further. Now, you might think that's a cynical way of looking at it, Kevin, but
very practical way of looking at it. And I've met lots of musicians over the past who've talked about the question of economics and how prohibitive it is, how difficult it is to actually run a bigger band, because obviously you're not making that much money in jazz these days. So, I mean, we mentioned Bobby McFerrin before, but for many years he just toured completely on his own. He has been doing that for 20-odd years, and it really works.
Without a shirt sometimes, even.
I think sometimes without shoes, but...
Yes, and I think this helps, because then you haven't got to contact 17 people and say, are you free on Friday? You can just sort of go and appear and do the work and go away again. And of course people love it, because it is quite intimate, even if you're doing upbeat, showy numbers. You know, you can get quite close to the crowd and they feel they know you, because they've only got three or four faces to take in. So it's easier to establish yourself. The Papini Sisters did this very successfully. First time I saw them at the Battersea Arts Centre, and the look was very arresting, because they had one brunette, one blonde, and one redhead, just like the Andrews Sisters. And they were singing in the style of the Andrews Sisters, but what were they singing? They were singing Spooky, which is a hit for Dusty Springfield, and they were singing Panic by the Smiths and Heart of Glass by Blondie, and doing what you were talking about earlier, Kevin, adapting the commercial repertoire of the day. The current songbook, if you like, the sort of latter-day equivalent of the Cole Porters and the Gershwins.
That lots of people outside of jazz can relate to.
That's right. And you also get a lot of classical music students who then develop a love for jazz. And I'm thinking here of groups like Voces 8, V-O-C-E-S, Voces 8, who were reviewed on Radio 3's CD review recently. And it was said of them that they were two parts the King Singers, three parts the Swingle Singers, with a dash of Bobby McFerrin.
That's a pretty good combination.
I think so. And it sums them up very well, because they're equally comfortable with Bach motets or with Straighten Up and Fly Right.
Which, again, kind of takes us back to Bobby and, I suppose, the whole Lambert, Hendrix and Ross tradition, which you can't get away from.
Certainly.
OK, there's one more group who I know you're very keen on. you're going to tell me about from the UK called Sector 7.
I've seen these guys sing live. Well, I've seen Sector 4 sing live right. anyway, because there are four vocalists, Kwabena Ajipong, Shaka Philip, Sarah Ellen Hughes, and the very versatile Emma Smith, who she seems to be everywhere now. She's even in the Papini Sisters now. But they're backed on the record by George Moore piano, Tim Thornton bass, and Andy Chapman at the drums. When I saw them, they performed live on a programme I was doing. The four of them sang live beautifully, beautifully. We're going to finish off today, Kevin, with a Gershwin classic. And what I like about the way they've done this is that they've included the unfamiliar bit. You know, a lot of these Gershwin songs and Porter and Irving Berlin, we know the main melody, we know the chorus, we know the verse, but then there's another bit. There's probably a musical technical term for that, which I don't know, but there's the other bit, which quite often gets left out. Well, they put it in.
Okay, so for all of you musical technical term lovers out there, here is the other bit from Sector 7, featuring Sarah Ellen Hughes and Emma Smith with their version of Gershwin's But Not For Me. Thanks, Bob. It's been great talking to you.
Kevin, many thanks.
Old man sunshine, listen you. Never tell me dreams come true. Just try it, and I'll start a riot. Beatrice Fairfax, don't you dare. Never tell me he will care, I'm certain. It's the final curtain. I never want to hear from any cheerful Pollyannas who tell you fate supplies a mate. It's all bananas.
They're writing songs of love, but not for me. A lucky star's above, but not for me. With love to lead the way, I found more clouds of gray than any Russian play could guarantee. I was a fool to fall, get this way. Hey-ho, alas, and also lack-a-day. Although I can't dismiss the memory of his kiss, I guess he's not for me.
Sector 7, with their very original version of Gershwin's But Not For Me. And a big thanks to Bob Sinfield, who's been our guide to the jazz vocal harmony scene in the US and the UK. I'm Kevin Legendre, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. So now on to tonight's second part of concert music from the Quentin Collins Brandon Allen Quartet, recorded at the 2012 Scarborough Jazz Festival, which celebrated its 10th anniversary last year. The music filled the glorious surroundings of the main hall at the Spa in Scarborough on the opening night of the event. Co-led by trumpeter Quentin Collins and saxophonist Brandon Allen, the band features Ross Stanley on organ, Enzo Zirilli on drums, Brandon Allen on tenor sax, and Quentin Collins on trumpet. So here they are, opening with a piece inspired by their adventures at the Canary Islands Jazz Festival. This is Fuerteventura. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much indeed for Fuerteventura. We'd like to continue now with a tune which I wrote for my beautiful son. The intention was to write a tune to aid the sleeping process. I'm sure that every father or musical parent has the same intention. And unfortunately, this kind of had the reverse effect. I'm not quite sure why. Perhaps you can make up your own mind. But this is Oscar's lullaby nonetheless. Oscar's lullaby.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. We'd like to continue now with a tune which is it's all about sometimes you act before you think, and you regret perhaps reacting to someone, what they say or what they do to you. This tune, I was just playing with my cat, and as cats do, they react and they scratch. And I thought of the bigger picture about how humans do that too. They don't necessarily have a bad intention, but they... naturally lash out from time to time. This is entitled The Paw of Discontent.
Thank you.
That was The Poor of Discontent by the Quentin Collins and Brandon Allen Quartet. And for all the tracks played on tonight's show, check out the Radio 3 website for more details. And if you fancy seeing the Quentin Collins and Brandon Allen Quartet live, they're actually appearing with soul star Omar at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in London on April the 2nd, so get yourself along to that. I'm Kevin Legendre, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90-93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. Several years ago, the American pianist Jason Moran made a great album called Facing Left. Well, his ever-inventive British counterpart Robert Mitchell is playing left, as in using his left hand only. Fresh from an appearance at The Forge in Camden, which has recently had a solo piano festival, Robert applies the left alone concept to his album The Glimpse. Here's a track called Leftitude. Leftitude, played only by the left hand of pianist Robert Mitchell, and Robert's currently on the road. For more details of the tour, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page. Next, we have a musician that my colleague Claire Martin had a great time interviewing on Jazz Lineup last year, pianist Lynn Ariel. Lynn Ariel's brilliant musicianship and bandstand instincts place her among the top jazz pianists of the day, so says the New York Times. Lynn always chooses really great material, from jazz standards to pop songs, which she then gives her special treatment. Let's hear the Sting song, Sister Moon.
Thank you.
Taken from her album Convergence, that was pianist Lynn Arriale and her lovely spin on Sister Moon, written by Sting. That's almost the end of this week's show, but remember there's plenty more jazz tomorrow night at 11 on Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson. He's got performances from the Instant Composers Pool Orchestra, featuring co-founders Han Benink and Misha Mengelberg. To finish tonight, the irrepressible Sun Ra Orchestra, under the direction of Marshall Allen. Allen is touring across the UK and performing with former Gong and Soft Machine member David Allen as part of an intriguing event, which is a multimedia performance consisting of James Harrar's experimental and highly personal video images with a live musical rendering of soundtracks for each film. The project has been on the go for no less than 18 years, features a changing lineup of guests, and really captures some of the magic of the silent movie era, where of course live music was integral to the images on screen. Well, here is Marshall Allen directing the Sun Ra Orchestra and The Way You Look Tonight. From me, Kevin Legendre, bye-bye.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. More from the 2012 BBC Proms to begin the programme this morning, and John Stugor's first prom appearance as principal guest conductor of the BBC Philharmonic. Roderick Williams sings Cinera by Delius, Stephen Osborne plays Grieg's Piano Concerto, and bookending the concert are two Sibelius symphonies. Choosing your favourite Sibelius symphony is rather like choosing your favourite Mozart opera. You can easily persuade yourself that it's whichever one you've heard most recently. Number 6 in D minor is pretty high on my list, and I think Sibelius himself had a soft spot for it too. It reminded him, he said, of the scent of the first snow.